This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our first reading is from Isaiah, the 64th chapter, the first 9 verses. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, when you came down, the mountain quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hands of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Listen for the word of the Lord in this reading. Our second reading is from Mark, 13th chapter, 24 through 37. Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake." Listen for the word of the Lord in this reading. It's the first Sunday in Advent, which means that we have completed another liturgical year with each other. That sometimes spins my head around. But as we move into the new liturgical year, we switch our focus from Matthew, which we looked into in year A, to Mark. Let's see what new perspectives we can find on the story the church exists to tell. You would think if we move into a new gospel, we would start at the beginning, but you'd be wrong. Today's passage comes from near the end of Mark's gospel, a portion of Mark known as the Olivet Discourses or the Little Apocalypse. It deals with the ever fascinating question, when will the end be? If you want to find something that will generate an endless argument, bring up that question, get some popcorn, sit back, and watch the show. The thing that most amuses me about the degree of certainty some people express about this question, when will the end be, is that Jesus himself didn't answer it. Indeed, he confessed he didn't know. Instead, he told his disciples to keep awake because the time of the coming of the Lord was still an upcoming event. No one, not the angels or the Son, he told them, knows that time. That bothers a lot of people, but for me, I'm grateful that no one knows the day or time. If we did, we'd wait to the last minute to undertake the work we were placed here to do. You know how we are. We put stuff off. According to Eusebius, Emperor Constantine was marching with his army when he looked up at the sun and saw a cross of light above it. And the Greek words, "by this be victorious," often translated into Latin as "in hoc signo vinces." Eusebius tells us that Constantine did not understand what he had seen until Jesus appeared to him in a dream and explained that he should use the Greek letters chi rho, the first two letters of the Greek word Christos, as a sign against his enemies. Doing so, he won the Battle of Milvian Bridge, and the following year he and his co-regent issued the Edict of Milan, establishing religious tolerance throughout the empire, reversing the persecutions of Christians under his predecessor, Diocletian. Constantine is remembered as the first Christian emperor of Rome and honored as Saint Constantine in the Eastern Church. However, he put off his own baptism until he was on his deathbed. The church put as good a spin on that as they could, speculating that he wanted to be absolved of as much sin as possible, and so he waited until he'd committed a bunch of them to get baptized. There's a lot of things you might want to do if you're the emperor of the Roman Empire that would not be consistent with being Saint Constantine. I think he thought that by putting off the baptism until the last minute, it would be sort of a way to have his cake and eat it too. That's us, isn't it? We put stuff off. We're sort of like the guy that decided he could fly if he tied wings onto his arms, jumped off a really high building, and flapped for all he was worth. As he plummeted past the eighth floor, a guy hollered out the window, "How's it going?" And he answered back, "So far, so good." Well, yeah, but there will be an accounting. That much is certain. The time of the accounting is known only to the Father. Not knowing when the end will come should encourage us to greater efforts to live the life that Jesus laid out for us. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cock crow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. Unfortunately, for many people I talk to, the thought that the time of the second coming is to be announced doesn't seem to focus their attention on what they are doing now, as Jesus advises, but rather focuses their minds on endless speculation about what will happen then. I'm concerned by the contemporary interest in end times because I think it's a distraction from what we should be thinking about, which is how we live our lives now in God's creation. Jesus is very clear here. What we do with our time on earth matters. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. This isn't a throwaway world in which, if you are smart, you do something to get yourself saved and then just wait for the end so that you can say, "I told you so." We have work here, church, and it matters how we do that work. As interesting as it might be to hold forth on how the second coming will be next Tuesday at 3:00 in the morning, That's just a way to stop thinking about the work we need to do. And it's also a pointless exercise. Jesus says plainly, but about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. People that will tell you when the end is coming think they are better informed than Jesus. I rather doubt that. If we want to be faithful servants, we have to turn from speculations about things we can't know to our actions here in God's creation. This is where things get really tough, and I won't pretend that they don't. More than 500 years before Jesus spoke, a prophet scholars called Trito Isaiah, or Third Isaiah, spoke the word of God to a shattered group who had returned to Jerusalem after their long exile in Babylon. One of the things that he said has echoed through time. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We would prefer to think of ourselves as masters of our own souls, captains of our own ships. In that way, whatever we accomplish grants us bragging rights. We do not like to think of ourselves as raw material in the hands of a potter, yet those are Isaiah's words. We are formed and sustained every moment by God's hands. We are the clay, he is our potter. It is from God that we spring and to God that we return. In between those two events, it is God's prerogative to mold us as a potter molds clay. Of course, just as the clay has no way to envision the pot until it is formed as one, we have the greatest difficulty envisioning what God would make of us. From the clay's perspective, the final form of the pot is still an upcoming event. From our perspective, the work God has for us is no easier to perceive. The work we have to do while awaiting the return of the Son of Man is to learn to become attentive to the word of God, to be courageous enough to follow it as we become aware of it. So, how does the clay that we are become aware of the pot God wishes to make of us? Doing the work of the Master requires two things, faith and focus. Faith, because we must acknowledge that the potter has a plan for each of the elect. We are tempted to think that God is preoccupied by bigger things than little old us, but he is not. Believing that requires an act of faith. The second piece is focus. We have to pay attention to the potter's hands. Here's a little personal story. Some time ago, I had a bit of a crisis of faith. On the one hand, I knew very well how little I knew about being a pastor. I have no training to speak of. What business did I have standing before you, jumped up in a fancy robe? I was swamped by the reality of how little I had to offer. Leaving the chapel of St. Arbuck's one morning, my eye fell upon two pennies laying on the parking lot, one on top of the other. Couldn't take my eyes off them. There they were, my 2 cents worth. Then I thought, more heard than thought, you were called precisely because of your 2 cents worth. You answered, and they were enough. I picked up the pennies, and they are framed on them in a frame on my desk to this very day. Focus. Did someone say something to you today that was meaningful to you? Did you see something today that brought the love of God out of the shadows for you? That's the hand of the potter you saw. Did you become aware of someone else's needs and decide to fulfill them, maybe without even letting them know? You are molded by the hands of the potter. God is the ground of being, the sustainer of each of us. He is our potter. We are the clay. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He descended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. One more personal story before we leave. Monday, I get the text for the sermon. Usually by Tuesday, I have some idea of what the sermon will be. Not this week. Absolutely nothing. And when that happens, it doesn't happen often. I keep my sermons, of course. So I look back 3 years ago and found a sermon called To Be Determined, having to do with the second coming of Christ. And so I changed the title of it so you wouldn't know. Upcoming event about the second coming of Christ. And I copied it into my form, and then I began editing it. Well, you know, just a word here or a word there that was out of place. And pretty soon there were a lot of words that were out of place. There are whole sentences that changed, and I got the feeling that I wasn't typing. Today, even after the bulletin was printed with upcoming event, that used sermon had been molded into one I will call now Faith and Focus. Be aware of the hands of the potter, molding you, even when you don't know it, into something that he would have. Pay attention. Stay awake. And until we meet again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And God's people said, amen.